On the podcast today, we are going to dissect chapter 45 of the Tao Te Ching, which makes up the 45th episode of the 81 Meditations on the Tao Te Ching. And as usual, Guyang will read Jia Fufeng and Jane English's translation, and I will read Derek Lin's translation.
Great accomplishment seems imperfect, yet it does not outlive its usefulness. Gratefulness seems empty, yet it cannot be exhausted. Great straightness seems twisted. Great intelligence seems stupid. Great eloquence seems awkward. Movement overcomes cold. Stillness overcomes heat. Stillness and tranquility restore order in the universe.
Great perfection seems flawed. Its function is without failure. Great fullness seems empty. Its function is without exhaustion. Great straightness seems bent. Great skill seems unrefined. Great eloquence seems inarticulate. Movement overcomes cold. Stillness overcomes heat. Clear quietness is the standard of the world. So in classic Taoist fashion, Lao Tzu highlights the perfection of imperfection.
Yes, yes. And also how imperfection is perfect.
That's it. That's right.
Vice versa.
It's a paradox. Yes. But he does highlight this point. And it's a lot of people misinterpret this, right? Because we live in a world where straightness is the way to go. We got to make things square. But Lao Tzu is saying, hold to the circle, hold to the wiggly, hold to the awkward, hold to the imperfection. Because in that imperfection within yourself, you've got something to give the world.
Exactly. That's right. Around the world, almost we were a little bit too Confucianized. I don't know if it's a proper expression.
Yes.
Knowingly, unknowingly, I think, around the world, as in like that great analogy about the sculpture, where Lao Tzu would say just a block of wood is perfect as it is. No need to do anything, just its own natural beauty. Whereas Confucius will say, oh, that's just a useless block of wood. Let's make use of it. Mm. And he will chisel and get some pieces off the block of wood and make it as some sort of a sculpture or some like a spoon or something like that. So make it useful in his opinion. But again, that's what Lao Tzu always criticized, how something natural make it unnatural, so artificially make it as some sort of artifacts, so that how you can make use of it. But that's how the world is these days. That and imperfection here, again, as you mentioned earlier, the Lao Tzu is talking about what's really completely natural. So what's completely natural, just like that block of wood, may not seem useful and may not seem beautiful in our conditioned eyes, right? So we might be confused, why is that useful? Why is that beautiful, right? But if you come from completely Taoist way and also naturalistic way, just the things as they are, it's beautiful, right? So sometimes we all know what looks too perfect is not very interesting, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if it's just natural, somewhat not perfect, somewhat some parts of it is a bit lack, but that itself is more attractive. That brings more interest.
That's right. That's right. So if you look at those two metaphors that you mentioned, the carving and polishing metaphor versus Lao Tzu's uncarved block, it's more so, as you said, it's about this self-cultivation versus things are perfect as they are. And as this chapter highlights, is that the Tao is perfect as is. There's nothing needed to add. There's nothing needed to subtract. The infinite potential of the Tao is just in its nature as it is. And that's where Confucius got it wrong. And that's where I think a lot of us get it wrong in the modern day, where Confucius was under the impression that we can induce the Tao in society by following certain rules and regulations. And I think other religions follow this type of incorrect perspective as well, where they think that you need to induce this divine energy somehow through a structured system to bring it into the world. And Lao Tzu is saying, but it's already here. You don't need to induce it. It's ever present. It's the eternal nature of existence. And you are an aspect of that. And so we are all born perfectly good. And the irony is it's the conditioning that carves and polishes us and makes us into something that we're not.
Mm.
You know, some of us keep our sanity and we maintain our morality and we are good people. For other people, the carving and polishing thing is terrible for them. It warps their nature so much that they don't even know that they were pure from birth, right? And then they might become criminals or so forth and so on. They're completely out of touch with their own nature. So Lao Tzu is saying that we are all naturally good,
yes,
and the Tao is ever present. And that's why it is naturally good, right?
That's right.
And so, as you were saying, when we follow the rules and regulation mentality or that Confucian perspective that most societies follow, it's too clean. It's too politically correct. Mm. The character is not there.
Yes.
And if we talk in Taoist terms, we have Li, right? Organic pattern in each and every one of us. And Li is translated as the grain and wood, the markings of jade and fiber and muscle. And that means that you have this unique organic pattern psychologically that brings something into the world, right? It's kind of like a divine virtue that each of us have. But we're in the wilderness of life and we slowly discover whatever that may be, because we feel a resonance with that, right? We feel an inclination towards that. We want more of that. We want to do more of that. And so we live in a world that doesn't want you to do that, wants you to be so clean and doesn't want you to tap into that Li and just wants you to be, you know, a good servant for the society. And so if we look at it in a perspective, like say if we look at our Li and we look at what you said, like it becomes too clean. So if someone's a writer or an artist out there, right, I can only judge myself, right? People know that when I write something, they can feel my character in the writing. And so, but then if I gave that to ChatGPT, it would mince it up, right? It would make it too clean, too perfect. And I think that this is a danger of technologies like AI and that, because it becomes stale. There's no character in it, right? The reason why we are attracted to art is because that is the Li of that individual. It's like, oh man, that person brought something beautiful into the world. And that's what Lao Tzu is mentioning in this chapter, is that we are a reflection of the Tao, and that ultimate perfection is of the Tao is expressed through our Li, which may appear imperfect, but it's actually perfectly in line with the Tao.
Yes, when we lose our natural beauty in our life, in many ways, it could just be in art or the field of status quo, politics, all these things. If we lose that imperfection part of our life, then life becomes so boring, I think.
Yep.
There's no fun element.
Yep.
It's nothing is clearer than having an example of like a comedy, for example. Like in up until 90s, comedies were very organic and very spontaneous, and people resonate with that, the comical comment what comedians make, and everyone could laugh about it, right? And again, it's comedy, it's supposed to be fun. But nowadays, to make fun of something, you have to always give a second thought about it. Is this politically correct? Is this going to upset someone like this? That's why you already lost it. As soon as you think like that, it's not fun anymore. It's not funny anymore.
And
right?
It's not authentic.
Exactly. It's not authentic. It's not real. And it's not organic either.
Yep.
That organicness in our life makes life beautiful and also very colorful as well. Everyone is different so that everyone can see things differently, and that creates different point of view, and that creates a different expression,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's why things become much more interesting, attractive, and also you know, for some people it can be funny, have a laugh. Mm. So, but nowadays people, again, it all comes together, right? We are somewhat relying on technology, maybe too much. It's going that way, right? So that people start thinking like AI, start thinking like computer. Mm. And they have their own censorship going on in their own brain. Mm. Should I say this? Is it appropriate to say this and that? See, you're already thinking like a machine. Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned about character, people don't seem to have their authentic character organically anymore.
Yep.
Because people worry so much about display, right?
Yep.
To be in line with the what's politically correct nowadays. So that gets rid of a lot of beautiful elements of our life. Why can't we take things a bit more lighthearted? And being lighthearted is, again, being a human, right?
Mm.
And that's a great gift for a human species. So that's how we can get along with each other and we can come to you know, some sort of agreement and over something serious or not serious. So again, people world is becoming way too serious,
way too politically correct. And this is what enhances ridiculous things like cancel culture and things like that. And I like how you said the display world. So it's like a superficial reality that we've all bought into, even though behind closed doors we all disagree with it. Because the display world, the superficial world, makes weak people. And what happens when you make weak people, as we know through psychology and the spiritual traditions, they're the most dangerous people in the world. Because weak people are often, in some sense, cowards and will commit crime and this and that, right? Like, for example, as you said, like, you're free to express your opinion as a comedian. A comedian, we're all free to express our opinion. Well, hopefully we are forever. But the way that cancel culture and all that's turning, they want to ban free speech and things like that. But so like a comedian can highlight certain things about reality that are funny and quirky and that we all probably think deep down. And it's always been that way, right? But now you're seeing that mentality being sort of curtailed because people don't want to step on anyone's toes. And a good book for everyone to read on this is Collective Illusions by Todd Rose, who goes into how we have these collective illusions that we agree upon only because certain companies and that push that in our face. But deep down, most people don't agree with that and don't follow it actually, but just follow it in the superficial sense. And so then you're creating this superficial reality, right? Where it's okay to say things sometimes out of turn and incorrect. Sometimes we're wrong. This is how you learn on the run. This is what it is to be human, right? And so I think that when people resonate too much with this display world, this superficial world, it just creates weak characters.
That's right.
Right? So you and I, we speak very freely on the channel, on the podcast, right? And this upsets those people who are bought, some people who are born into the display world, right? And they behave like cowards behind their keyboard and might say something to me or you that is, or someone else in their comment section that's very harmful, right?
Yes. I mean, I'm not against anyone who wants to do a podcast and wants to do like a speech training and things like that. Nowadays, people are going through. Of course, that's going to help you to bring your thoughts together in a clean language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great skill also. But at the same time, I witnessed some people sometimes like they sound a little bit too perfect, too almost like robotic, right? So I feel like there is no like a human element in some people's talk in a sense.
Yeah, and in saying that sometimes those people can't understand people who just act authentically.
It's
like I was mentioning with the comment section, right? Like you and I speak freely because, well,
we don't have a script
and we're free.
Yeah.
And so that annoys some people who will, again, it enhances sometimes that if you're living on that superficial layer, that tendency towards cowardice, right? And that cowardice comes from weakness. That's not enhancing your character. That character you think you are is being built on the superficial layer.
Right. That's why then those type of people will find it a little bit hard to react when they are in conversation with someone who talks off the cuff, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Am I supposed to laugh or what is this?
Or someone who is very witty, right? They don't understand that.
Right.
It's as you were saying before, it's too clean, yes. Right? Like, and unfortunately, this is what's happening with the younger generations, yes. Right? Because the younger generations grow up with the internet.
Yes.
And they grow up with social media and they grow up with all of these things that the social media companies and the investment companies that control the social media companies say is politically correct, and you need to follow these. And if you step out of turn, then you get criticized. And then so what do you have? You have a generation of men and women who don't know what men and women are. Seriously, like, because one of the things I get a lot, right, is what is a man? Like, I get email and because they say, you know, I treat you really well. Like, they learn from me how to treat a woman, and so to speak. And I think, well, you're only watching a 20-30 minute podcast. But, like, some of them don't know what it means to be a man. When you and I grew up, we didn't even need to ask that question. You just are. And that's what Taoism is, right? You just are. And so with Confucianism, you have a politically correct philosophy with that Confucian mentality, which creates confusion within the society.
Right.
And so then you have people who are confused, right? And they're confused because they're growing up in a social media generation where there are certain slogans that undermine men and there are certain ideologies that undermine women. And so then the young people become very confused. And what I would say to those people is, to get back to your point of like getting away from this kind of display world, is instead of watching all this stuff, go outside. Just go outside and enjoy the world. Just experience the world, because the world on the internet in most cases is not the real world. It isn't, right? Like, because if you go outside, half of the things that you look at online aren't even happening in your immediate environment.
That's right. I want to point out the fact that the how to be and just being yourself and how to live life and how to view your own life is actually extremely simple. It's nothing like what people nowadays think of. It's not complicated. It becomes complicated once you put that artificial lens in front of them. Then it becomes more complicated, confused, like you said. But if you just go out and just hang out with friends without any conditioned thoughts in your mind and just live your life organically, then actually life is pretty simple. And from that simple mindset, things become in order very easily, organically, as it by itself, actually. Again, just like Tao, the universe is not complicated.
Yeah.
It just follows its own order naturally, organically, without any interference. But when like artificial interference happens, then what happens? Then everything goes out of order, becomes chaos, just like our life. Once we put the artificial judgment, perception, political correctness, all these things throw into our lives, then things go to confusion. It becomes chaotic.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just leave it as it is, that's a flower, that's a tree. Tree is not flower, flower is not tree. Like, you don't have to put it like this. You just, that's this and that's that. It's just simple. If you keep things simple, and things will be in order by itself. It's not complicated.
No. And like I said about going outside, like, naturally you just experience life as it is, particularly when you're a young person, right? The problem is that young people are growing up online. And online, you can curate reality. You can just delete this person. You can just avoid that. You can just watch that. So it's a illusion, right? It's an illusionary world that gives you this sense of control, but you don't have a sense of control, right? Because the algorithm is fighting against you and against your behavioral patterns. And so when you and I were younger, most people know that we often traveled to the most Taoist country in the world, which is India, which is pure chaos. But there's a peace within the chaos. And you learn a lot about yourself because you have to learn on the run. And this is what I mean about going outside. You have trials and tribulations, but what it does is it builds your character and allows you to understand the world on a deeper level, an intuitive level, where you can't get that online. And this is why I'm always telling young people, you got to get out there. And particularly, you got to travel places like India. And travel it as we traveled it back in the day.
Yes.
No Agoda. No, there's no such thing as Agoda, Booking.com. None of this existed when you and I were going there. It's just you show up in a town you have no idea about, you figure it out.
Yes.
And there's a real beauty in figuring it out. Mm. Some of the times when you and I would land in Varanasi, oh my God, you're figuring it out on the fly. It's difficult. But that's what people need to do. They need to put themselves in life.
Yes.
Stop hiding from life. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in life. Get involved with life.
Yes.
Outside of this.
The nature is very intelligent. Mm. I mean, nature gave birth to human. What's more intelligent than that?
Exactly.
Right? So when you actually trust that intelligence, you will be able to discover things you didn't even know about yourself. Like you're almost like some secret ability will just come to surface like magic, right? And that's what happens when you go to the wilderness, like you said.
Yep.
You just get to drop to the middle of crazy world like Varanasi, for example. Like,
yep.
You have no idea where you're going. You just ask local people, and local people their answer is not never to be trusted. So you just try to find out yourself. But in that process, you're gonna be amazed by how you can easily adapt to the situation. But that is just the organic and natural intelligence as a human species.
Mm.
That is why we are still here on Earth. We are so good at adapt in situation so that we can survive. And we have that skill, that we have that intelligence. So we just need to trust the process. That nothing's going to happen to you. You can do it. Mm. Like, people worry so much. Like, again, making weak people nowadays, right? We're not weak at all.
No.
They tell you you can't do this or that. But, again, let's not listen to that. You just trust your own inner intelligence and you can navigate through it all.
You're a mighty being.
Yes.
People need to realize that.
Yes.
And most of us are told that we're not this mighty being.
Mm.
And as you were mentioning with the intelligence, the intelligence of the Tao is always working for you, right? So if you put your life out there, the intelligence of the Tao is working for you. It's perfect in imperfection. So we're looking at our life and we think it's imperfect, but it's exactly what we needed. Exactly what we needed. The only time it's not what we needed is when we turn away from that intelligence. We turn away from the possibilities in our life, right? And in this chapter, it talks about how the Tao may appear empty, but it's full of infinite potentials. And we emulate the Tao in that sense.
Yes.
But we block ourselves off from that infinite potential because we sit on our phones, we sit at home, we don't put our life in a certain way, we don't go after what we really yearn for deep down because we think we might offend somebody.
Hmm.
Newsflash, anything that you do is going to offend somebody. I've put up some of the most innocent videos about something that you wouldn't think it would evoke any sort of emotion, but there's always someone out there. There's always someone out there. Recently, I had a photo of the young children at the International Buddhist Welfare Community in Bodgai, right? And it's a beautiful initiative where the monks have taken it on board to feed and clothe and educate the young children who are homeless in Bihar.
Yes.
And then there was an individual on Facebook who found offense in that picture. So there's always someone out there that you're going to offend, like, what am I supposed to do in that situation? If you want to be politically correct, right? That individual obviously has certain personal problems and I hope they get some help. But what am I supposed to do? Not post a beautiful picture of this wonderful community because it's going to offend that one individual?
Yes.
You can't live your life like that. You've got to just do what the Li is calling in you.
That's right.
If it's going to offend someone, it's not your problem, it's their problem.
Exactly. you have no responsibility about how others feel.
No.
That's not our problem. It's not our problem.
No,
it's a, it's that individual's problem. And if that individual is taken that way, then again, it's got nothing to do with us,
no.
basically.
No.
So the thing is, people trying to make everyone happy, and that's where all the problems happen.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And nowadays, people, they feel they're obliged to make everyone happy, yeah. this political correctness.
Yeah.
But there is no such thing. Mm. Like, you cannot make everyone happy because everyone thinks differently.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And if someone misunderstands your message, or if someone don't agree with you, don't get offended.
Yeah.
It's just how things are. Like, you cannot make everyone happy. And you try to make everyone happy, how tiresome that is. We know that, right? It's impossible. You're trying to make something possible impossible.
Yep.
That's where all this stress and anxiety comes from. It's...
You cannot live in that manner.
Yes.
Because Uwe is a path of non-interference. So from a mature mind, a sane mind, you can allow people to live as they will. These people who are going around getting offended and outraged by every little thing are the same tyrants who took over countries and other religions. That's the same mind. So if you're one of those people out there and you want to be quick to comment about what I just said, that's actually deep down what's within you. So that has to be resolved. Think about it. Because if you want to tell someone else what to do, that's exactly what Adolf Hitler did. That's exactly what Genghis Khan did. That's exactly what a lot of people in the West have done.
Yes.
Right? And so Taoism has always said, why do people just follow the path of non-interference? Like, is it so hard to allow people just to live as they will? Look, there's a culture over there. It's completely different from mine. But they're not harming me. I'm, you know, they make good cake.
Mm.
So I go and I buy their cake. And deep down, we're humans, right?
Yes.
So we can still connect on a very humanly social level.
What's really somewhat unfortunate that this time and age right now that we are in is that this Taoist perspective, Taoist mindset is just a healthy mindset. It's just a sane person's mindset, I think. It's not something that you need to really put a lot of effort to achieve. It's got really nothing to achieve. You just need to live as you are, as the life represents to you by itself, in itself, and you just live it, really.
Mm.
That's all you need to do.
Yep.
Nothing more, nothing less. But nowadays, it seems like so difficult, so that you need to really cultivate these... natural perspective, organic way of thinking, way of seeing the world, and it almost required some sense of a maturity within you to be able to accept the fact that other people think differently, right?
Yeah.
So from that place, you just allow people to think differently,
yeah.
right? You can allow things just to be. And from that place, you feel a lot of peace in it.
Yes. I've often heard Taoism spoke about as a path of health and sanity. And in this path of health and sanity, it makes you immune to the insanity of the world. So you have an immunity from it if you follow this, because it's completely counter to how most people operate, unfortunately, right? Actually, in general, I would say a lot of people do follow Uwe unconsciously, but with social media, there's this increasing habit of training people to be outraged, training people to have throw in their two cents. This is ridiculous, right?
Mm.
And if you want to counter this bad habit, there's two principal practices that you find within Hinduism, Buddhism, and Taoism, and they're termed differently, but I'll use the Sanskrit, viveka. So having discernment in your mind, basically just becoming conscious of the activity in your mind. And in this chapter, Lao Tzu speaks about the movement, how movement produces heat and fire, right? Which we'll get into in a second. And then the next one is vairagya. And vairagya is dispassion to worldliness, dispassion and also non-reactiveness, right? Mm. So you apply just these two practices, and that allows you then to leave the world as it is and to respect everyone, actually. Oh, that culture's like that. That's just what they do. What can I say? It's none of my business, right?
Yes.
Who am I? I'm not the boss. And so you just cultivate these two, and that'll help you deal with the world going forward. Mm. And there's actually a great piece in that, as particularly Zhuangzi mentions in the Zhuangzi text, right? One of the greatest books in all of world literature. And so this brings a energy, a stillness to the mind,
mm.
which is actually what we need.
Mm.
We need peaceful people in the world. We need people to understand what shanti really means in Sanskrit.
Mm. Yeah, that's an important point, that when you start to see the world in that way, your energy of being changes, and that changes the energy of your everyday life.
Yeah.
And that brings immense peace and also, like, you know, good luck as well, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you just allow things to just happen, just come to you without any resistance. So you just navigate through the situation by situation. And yeah, from that place, you are ready for anything. Yeah.
That's how you find your Li. Mm. You have to have that emptiness and openness. That's what they say in this chapter, right? What Lao Tzu says in this chapter. That's how you tap into that infinite potential.
Mm.
You can't tap into the infinite potential if you're telling people what to do and how to live, because that's blocking the dam of the river. And that's got nothing to do with internal cultivation.
Nah.
It's more about an external perspective, right? Taoism is always about turning inward. And in turning inward, we affect what's around us by becoming an embodiment of shanti, right?
Mm.
And they talk about this in the chapter about, in the sense of movement, right?
Yes. Movement.
Because movement, all sorts of movement, especially from a Taoist perspective, and we know this actually physically, that it generates heat.
Mm.
So obviously, if you're exercising, a lot of movement generates heat. If you're thinking a lot, you can feel the yang in you generate, and you get anxiety, you get stress. This is not a healthy individual.
That's right.
Where yin naturally sinks,
yes.
Right? Yin sinks and brings coolant into your body.
Yes, yes.
So it brings cold somewhat, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But we live in a yang-oriented world,
yes.
which we're constantly generating heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're thinking that these hot people are going to be sane people.
Mm.
It's impossible.
Mm.
We're in a yin-deficient world.
Yes.
So yin sinks. It's about grounding ourselves,
yeah.
about bringing stillness into our life.
That's right.
Right? This chapter talks about bringing that stillness,
mm-hmm.
which actually is
mm-hmm.
cold.
Yes.
It can put out any fire.
Yeah, that's right. And then it goes back to, again, the stillness, the power of stillness, right? Stillness, how bring the order in the universe, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like the stillness, the uti. So there's no movement. No movement. It's complete stillness. And the Tai Chi is the movement of energy, right? That creates
yep.
the heat.
Yep.
And that also, the movement itself, that creates the different elements of energy, which is yang, yin and yang.
Mm.
And yeah, so nowadays we are too much movement.
Yep.
There's too much movement.
Yep.
So that, yeah, yin is deficient. Whereas, yeah, in that sense, there cannot be a stillness.
No.
So it has to be, yin also has to come to its place, and it's in perfect balance that we can get in touch with that stillness.
Yep. You are the microcosm of that process.
Mm.
So you are a reservoir of uchi. And from stillness, the infinite potential of Tai Chi moves. The infinite potential of yin and yang in balance and in harmony move in anything you do in your own creative process. When I was younger, a teacher said to me once that dharma, in the sense of virtue,
mm.
moves to that which is empty. And Taoism is the same. The Tao moves to that which is empty and uses the potentiality of that being.
Mm.
It's the bellows analogy, right?
Yes.
The bellows, seemingly empty, but it's full.
Yes.
It's full of energy, full of power, mm. full of character too.
Yes. Mm.
because that bellows has a particular nature, as you do, as I do, as everyone listening and watching. And then once you tap into that stillness, then the infinite potential of your bellow will come into the world.
Yes. I think it's a good practice also is that everyone is busy, right, nowadays. But let's say just 10% of your energy should be into that complete stillness, complete nothingness. So that you give yourself the 10% of that leeway to go either way in life, right? So that then you don't get too agitated or too angry at a certain situation. All these anger and agitation come from we are too busy, we're too tired, right? That's why we have that sort of reaction. But just give 10% of your energy into something completely nothing, stillness, emptiness.
That's right.
Yes.
Embrace the yin.
Yes.
And see what happens in your life. It's that simple. Okay, guys, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you guys next time.